Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
And I'm Johnny Smith.
This is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, the Honda E. We had a friend of my wife's over at the weekend, and I have a bit of a problem with her.
I don't know why I'm laughing already.
Well, no, not in the sense that I don't like her. I really like her. She's lovely. She's a very lovely person, and she's a good friend to my wife, and it's not that. The problem I have with her is that until quite recently, she used to work for a cosmetics company, mm-hmm. and she always wore and still wears their signature perfume. And a while back, she gave my wife a box of half-used testers of this perfume, you know, samples that they put in the shops.
Yeah.
She just went, look, you might as well have these. They get thrown away. It's a waste, you know, so have them.
So she had a box of half-used samples. Okay, that's good. Reusing.
Of their, yeah, good, exactly.
But not is wasteful. It like 7 years' worth?
It probably would have been if you'd used it. But my wife's been like, I'm not sure this is really my smell, this signature scent. So she gave some of the fuller bottles away to other friends. And then she stuck some in the loos in our house as air fresheners.
For poo camouflage.
Yeah. Well, in the loo where I like to go for a nice, relaxing sit down.
Is that the one that I use when I'm at your house? Top of the stairs?
Yeah. You know,
because it's out of sight, out of mind. It's at the top.
Mm. Yeah,
Heat rises.
Good position.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after having a nice bit of quiet time in there, I'd give it a little spray. Only one, because it's quite strong.
Yeah. It masks.
It kind of masks. And here's the problem. Now, when I see my wife's friend and she's wearing that signature scent, technically she smells lovely, but my brain tells me that she smells very slightly of shit.
It can't be undone. The connection,
the
neural connection can't be undone.
Mm-mm, no. You have to have like electroshock therapy or something to shift that one. It's weird. My brain just goes, ooh, that's slightly vanilla-y perfume. Smells of poo, little undercurrent of poo there. No, there isn't, brain. There is.
Well, I used to just go trad and have a box of Cook's matches because I used to enjoy just the striking and the ritual of the flame. Call me a caveman. This was pre-smartphone era. And
What, now you've got an app that does it?
Well, no, I just, now you tend to go on eBay or whatever. A car in classic. The problem is my wife would go, it now just smells of burnt poo.
Yes.
And and when there's like a birthday party and someone blows out candles, she associates it that I've put a particularly ripe one and kind of run away. And so I think it's
ruined. There's a salutary lesson here, isn't there?
It's ruined.
Be very careful what you use to mask the smell of defecation.
Oops. Defecation's what you need if you want to be a defecator.
Anyway, I thought I'd just share that with you. But what I really want to talk to you about is, you know, last week I got a bit jazzed about that Bentley Mulsanne for sale.
Yes.
Well, Bentley Mulsanne update.
Okay.
I haven't bought it. I saw quite a few comments on YouTube and on Twitter of people going, have you bought it yet? I hope you've bought it. Are you buying that car? Tell us when you've bought it. I hope there's an update when you've bought it. Look, I haven't bought it. Okay, I may have misleadingly suggested or given the impression that I just have 47 grand lying around.
Well,
but I did. I was haunted by that car and I was a bit like, God, if I sold my 911 and, well then maybe we wouldn't need our Jag because we could have it as a family car. Yeah, that would. And so
a family car in London? Bentley Mulsanne.
Well, that's the thing. I know. Well, hey, why not?
London.
I mean, also, foggy London town. Yeah, not entirely practical, but I did think about
it. It'd be very foggy when the mole sarm was cold started, wouldn't it?
Yeah, when it starts running a bit rich on one bank. So then what happened, and this is all after we'd finished recording last week, and I'd been messaging TV's Chris Harris, ex-Mole Sarm owner.
Yes. That's how he's most famously referred to. Not
everybody knows.
Yeah, not like Motoring journalist, not Top Gears. He's ex-Mole Sarm owner Chris Harris.
Bentley Mulsanne's Chris Harris, now occasionally doing Top Gear, I believe. I don't know, it's not what he's known for. He's the Mole Sarm guy. He rang me. He followed up on the messages with a phone call, but not just any phone call. He started trying to do a number on me. He used the line, "Do you really want to be the guy who could have had a Bentley Mulsanne and didn't?"
Oh, tempting bastard.
And I went, "You absolute fucker."
Yeah.
So it didn't work, but I respect him for trying to tuck me into a car that I absolutely do not need.
I quite like being tucked in, but it's assuming that I'm financially able.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could do it, I could do that. Like, I know maybe you could have done the Mole Sarm, but you'd have to have moved a lot of stuff around, and, you know, it's a 50k car, isn't it? So
I don't mind being tucked into, like, another pint when I'm thinking of going home. But being tucked into a very large British saloon car that I don't need. I was also in one of the car nerdy WhatsApp groups that I'm in. I mentioned it in there, and one of my mates just immediately went, "Don't you have enough cars?" Which I sort of thought was a fairly...
Well, it's the voice of reason, which I really don't like hearing, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, he is the voice of reason, maybe. Just while I'm on this...
keep going, keep rolling.
Talking of temptingly affordable, once very expensive cars that catch the eye and tempt you like a siren calling you onto the rocks of incredible expense. Someone I know bought an Aston Rapide earlier this year.
Did they?
You know, Rapides are sort of becoming in that sort of zone of, oh, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems quite, considering how much they were new.
Yeah.
So he bought a Rapide, very, very happy with it. Having been burnt by an Aston before, he had a V8 Vantage, which was just constantly having niggling trouble with it. And in the end, he I think the supplying dealer took it back for almost what he paid for it because he was so sick of it. So he was a bit like unfinished business, want to get another Aston, hoping it won't break my heart this time. Got the Rapide, very, very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only done about 2,000 miles in it over, I don't know, 8-9 months. Just been landed with a bill for $9,000.
What?
Yeah, the cats are knackered. Apparently, it needs a whole new exhaust system, amongst other things. So,
an exhaust system for £9,000.
Well, I'm not sure if that includes some other stuff. I haven't asked him. He's so, clearly so.
Is
upset.
That his wit's end then?
Delved
right?
A bit. Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah,
I would
lot,
have rather I have think. Bought. I'd rather have bought like a first gen KN. You know, the ones that are unacceptable looking, and that someone's sort of drunk driven up a wall. And, like, the suspension's got it, you know, like some of the air suspension's forgotten how to keep itself level.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit like, it's a bit wonk. I would rather have that.
Like the guy I once saw driving down the A3 in Surrey in a Range Rover, a 38A, so a second-generation Range Rover, where there'd clearly been a horrible air suspension failure. It was like a lowrider. But he was a bloke in his 50s, I would say, grey-haired. You know, and there's nothing funnier, I think, than someone who has a bit of dignity, losing some of that dignity, but stoically carrying on. And that's what this guy was doing, because you could see his head was sort of being bounced around by the poor ride quality that resulted from, I don't know, all the air leaking out of the suspension, I guess.
He's the captain of a sinking ship that's just staying on it, isn't he? The ship is slowly going down, but he's continuing. It's okay, I'm still going. It's okay.
A captain always stays with his Range Rover.
I had the... I think I told you this in an old Smith & Sniff video, that a friend of mine's parents have a neighbour, a real like jingle jangle neighbour called Brian and Tracy. Well, that's two people, obviously, but and they used to have a Rolls Shadow white, of course, but then they got an S-Class Mercedes, the one after Lady Di spec.
Yeah,
and they turned up at a wedding that I was at, some friends, a wedding reception, and it turned up, and he was obviously wearing his signature silk shirt that was almost completely open, and he pulled up into the car park, and the back of the S-Class, I swear to you, it was higher than a body lifted Hilux. The back was so high, there was pure like negative camber going on at the positive camber going on at the back, and I said, "Oh, Brian," and he looked at me and he went, "Don't say anything. I know exactly what you're going to ask me. Don't say anything." And apparently it was the self-leveling system had just gone haywire, and it was as high as it would go, and it was like pulling on brake lines and all sorts.
Oh my god,
it was hilarious. I didn't realise they could go that high. It looked like a trophy truck S-Class. I think secretly Brian was like an overlander, you know, these people that buy passenger cars and turn them into off-roaders, which seems to be like an increasing cult thing to do, which I really like, because it flicks the Vs to SUVs, which I'm all for.
I don't mind that, and I sort of feel like it's a trend that might happen in production cars, because there've been whiffs of it.
Yeah, I was about to say, I really hope so.
Lamborghini did that concept, didn't they? That Gallardo that was sort of safari-ized a bit, and it did look quite cool.
Yeah.
And if Porsche can find it in themselves to be a bit sort of sillier than they are normally, I think they could do some safari. Because people are doing it anyway, aren't they? And it's legit to their heritage.
Yeah, and the snow race-type cars and the...
Yeah. So I don't mind. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like the Safari 911s now, it's like it's getting a bit... Everyone's getting a bit giddy with that. It's happening a bit too much, and someone needs to be a bit more original. But it's like also... I put this on Twitter week before last, I think, that Safari 911's all well and good, but once you see a picture of a proper Dakar spec 959...
Everything else just
business, my friend.
In the shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
But would it be nice if you could buy a base model 911 with obviously bits stripped out of it, and it's on steel wheels... And it's triple the ride height. well, yeah, you know, like kind of like Porsche do an aerial Nomad.
Yes,
but
that's the thing.
It would work. You know, it would work.
The Nomad is already there. The Nomad is sort of where this is going.
It would be Nomad, yeah. But you can actually take people out in it properly.
Have you ever driven a Nomad?
No, I've been meaning to drive one for ages, and I've driven most of the other atoms, but I've been robbed of the air. In fact, why don't we go out for a drive in a Nomad sometime soon? Should we wait for an incredibly wind chilly day?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's wait till December or January. We'll do it then. It'll be great.
And forget
they're your
gloves.
Home team, though, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, Somerset's
Aerial.
Finest. Yeah,
Somerset.
So if I was buying local, to where I was born, yeah, I would
locally sourced fresh produce.
It would be my locally sourced fresh automotive produce would probably be. It would be a Nomad for the weekend, and then what's the closest car manufacturer? It would be Swindon.
Yeah, you've got to have a Civic.
Is there a car manufacturer in Bristol or Exeter? I don't think there is.
We've done this one before, haven't we? Because there's only Bristol, and they've closed down. Now, in fact, they're auctioning off all the remaining bits of Bristol.
Did you see that Bristol sold on collecting cars, or was it Car and Classic? It might have been Car and Classic, actually. Car and Classic's auction. And everyone was everyone was getting so excited about it. And I just wanted to shout out loud, "It looks so shit. Don't buy it. Look at it. It looks unrepulsively shit."
Which one are you talking about?
I can't remember. It was Blenheim. Was it a Blenheim? Oh, I don't know. It was a 90s one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're not.
I mean, it looked awful,
looking.
Man. I'd rather have a Mazda 121 with a full-length ragtop. It just looks gash.
Yeah, but you could say that about a lot of cars, I think.
What, looks gash?
No. I'd rather have a Mazda 121
with the
bubble
rag
shape.
That is the worst. I'd say the Mazda 121 bubble shape with the ragtop roof, it does look the same at the front as it does at the back. All you have to do is switch the red lights for the clear lights, and then that's it. It would just be brilliant.
Just unplug the steering wheel, and there's a hole behind the back seats that you can just slot it into, and off you go.
I drove the Honda E for the second time recently, and in fact, by the time people listen to this video, even podcast, which is not a video, it could be a video if you're watching it on YouTube, but it's a blank video.
You're just staring at a title card.
You know what I mean. By the time this goes out, my Honda E video, my second one, will have gone out on Car Pervert YouTube channel. But I've driven.
So this is because you drove the Honda E a while back, didn't you? In was it Spain or something?
It was, yeah, it was February, right at the beginning of this year, pretty much. Yes, Spain, Valencia, and it was like a hurricane.
Oh yes,
it was the worst weather they'd experienced in 35 years, and we were there to drive a city car in the sun, and there were palm trees at 60 degree angles. I mean, it was chaos. There were roads with 2 feet of flood water on them. The sea was just taking chunks of the seafront out. Oh, man, it was crazy. But, yeah, it did that. And that was my most successful video. Still is.
Mm.
So this time I thought, well, I'm going to drive it on UK soil because I've got the chance. But I thought I'd do it a bit different. And I drove it back-to-back with a first-gen Civic.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The one that Honda Heritage have got, which is the original brochure car from the UK launch of the Civic.
Is it? Have they always had it, or did they have to buy it back?
They had to buy it back. They found it, and somebody said, you can have this if you want. Yeah, lovely Carnaby yellow, beautiful thing, 1975. So I thought I'd drive those two. And of course, as I was driving this Honda-y, I thought, it did remind me of all the charm it has, that the charm definitely outweighs the fact that you can't even put a packet of Maltesers in the boot. And, you know, it isn't the fastest out of them all. It doesn't have the biggest range, but there's something so good about it. It's so Honda-y and really well
How
made.
How much is it, again, 25 grand or thereabouts?
26,100 starting, and then 29 for the advanced pack, which is the one that they think most people will buy.
And that's got a bit more power as well,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, a bit more power, 1 second quicker to 62, and it has some extra tech like Park Pilot. And it also, I realised, it has heated seats, whereas the standard one doesn't, which I think for an electric car for over 25 grand is a little bit of a shysterish thing to do. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, my Jag doesn't have heated seats.
Get out of town.
No, they're only on, there's three models on the I-Pace, and I think they might have changed this now. Or is it the heated screen they've made standard? Anyway, the SE, the mid model, which is what we've got, doesn't have heated seats as standard. And I spec'd them, and then they forgot to put them on.
They forgot.
Not Jag's fault. The dealer that supplies the lease company messed up the order.
Oh, my gosh. If you'd actually bought that car, you'd be furious.
I know. I mean, well, they said, look, here are the options. We'll have to take the car back and get you another one. But there was like a 6 month wait.
Right.
Or we can install aftermarket heated seats.
Get away.
And put a switch somewhere. And I was just like, you're going to start hacking into the wiring on a multiplexed electric car.
I think that's going to never end well, is it?
Don't be silly. Yeah. So in the end, they just gave me a load of money back and some floor mats for free.
Did
so
they?
Sorry for screwing
they
up.
They give you a Nando's.
That's the other thing,
voucher.
Shockingly, doesn't come with floor mats as well.
What, and it's not even entry-level spec?
No.
I didn't realise it didn't come with heated seats. I mean, that's an
It's a bit stingy, isn't it? I know, it's ridiculous. Electric cars should always have heated seats.
Then you can take
the chill off your arse and not have to crank the heater.
Oh,
it's better for your range.
Well, in the early days of, like, Leaves and stuff, if you hadn't ordered them with heated seats, you basically had to drive around with a granny rug around your legs in winter.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, hang on. Because I had a Leaf for a bit, although it was a later one, and it had a... Did the early Leafs not have a heat pump heater on them?
It was optional.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, because mine had a heat pump, and the heater on that was mega.
Yeah, but if you didn't order it with the heat pump, it was like being homeless. You had to sit on cardboard, and you had to wrap yourself around with tarpaulins and things.
A friend of mine met some early adopter Leaf people at possibly some kind of Leaf convention or something. I don't know. He was covering a story there, and he said that there were I think more than one Leaf owner who they just refused to run the ventilation system because it
robbed
precious
it
miles off. Because also just dented the range. And they had, like, the door bins of the car were stuffed full of cloths. Because rather than run the demister, they would just rub the windows with a cloth. But, of course, it's counterproductive, because then as the cloth gets damp, it's just causing the whole car to steam up.
The problem is, the whole car just sweats.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Oh, bloody hell.
But we've come quite a long way, because now you don't have that problem. I mean, I don't even think twice about running the aircon or the heater in the Jag, but I didn't really in the Leaf either, but I only used it in town. It was fine, and it had heated seats.
When I was driving this Honda Re, obviously I remembered all that stuff, and I hadn't got to drive it hard anywhere because of aforementioned Valencian storm weather when we were filming.
Valencian storm weather was a character in Game of Thrones, wasn't she?
Oh, she was. She was the one that she got taken by the dragon. Yeah. Mm.
Always happens.
It does. It's sad. But yeah, so I tried to find somewhere to drive the Honda E a little bit spiritedly and couldn't really. But you can't turn the traction control off. So, which is a shame, because like my Kia Soul Electric, for example, one button and you don't even have to hold it. You just tap it as quick as can be and you have no traction control at all. And it's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it get a bit scrabbly?
Oh, it's the most scrabbly thing I've driven since the 90s, I would say.
That's what I thought
it's
with
brilliant.
That
enjoy
Hyundai
it.
Kona.
Oh, yeah, that scrabbles like mad.
Even with the traction control on, it scrabbles like crazy. I was like, this is like an 80s hot hatch. It's quite amusing.
Yeah.
It feels a bit out of control.
Well, it's the same drivetrain, isn't it? It's exactly like
I guess
that.
So, yeah. And I suppose, but I think the Kona's probably even lighter than the Seoul, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or is it?
It is.
A bit smaller.
It is. But it made me realise, and they hinted about it, are they going to do a Type R? And if they do a Type R, it can't be called the Honda ER, because that obviously conjures up imagery of emergency
George
routes.
Clooney being handsome in some hospital scrubs.
Yeah, and asking for he always asked for specific medical things that we didn't know what they were, and I still don't know if they were real.
Yeah.
Or whether he just made them up. Do you know what I mean?
I'd forgotten about that show. It had sort of very jivey kind of medical terms, didn't it? They were just people, so they'd suddenly go into the trauma room, and it'd be like, okay, I'm going to need 40 stents of statin, of all that stuff. Mix of life in stat. You go, what?
What is all of that? What is it?
Yeah.
It just sounds like I need 20 Ks of BB Rexa and then a statin of. And
you go, 40 of Dua Lipa now.
Yeah.
What? Is this, are you just naming pop stars?
No. This is all medical. This is all medical procedures. So I think that the Honda ER might not quite work, but I do.
And also the Honda RE just reminds me of having to learn about
Sabbath.
Other religions at school, yeah.
Yeah, Festival of Lights and Diwali.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I once got into trouble because one of our exercises that we had to do, probably homework, was do two columns, things that Jewish people are allowed to eat and things that Jewish people are forbidden from eating. And the forbidden column, you know, I did pork and shellfish and stuff like that. And but I was a bit bored because it was much shorter than the one they're allowed to eat.
Well, you just wanted to add.
Well, I just started putting things like rocks, trees, ants, houses, and things like that. And then got told off. God, owls. Not allowed to eat owls. Yeah, got told off for being silly.
Yeah, so the Honda RE wouldn't work. The Honda ER wouldn't work, especially for the more American skewed market. Or apparently the Honda E won't be sold in America, which is quite upsetting for a lot of Americans.
Yeah. That's funny, that, isn't it? Because I suppose it's too small for them.
Well, you say that. The Fiat 500 sells in America, and the Mini.
Yeah.
I think it's
And they
more...
do remember the original Civic that it sort of references in its design, don't they? Because that was quite...
That was like, you know, the car that...
a sort of bridgehead car for Japanese car makers and for Honda particularly.
Well, in fact, that's what I mentioned in the video. That car, I think, is the first Honda car to have broken America properly.
I looked this up just out of interest. And,
yeah.
Because, I'm asking how much that car costs, and, very few people are going to pay list for it, but on Honda's own website, the basic E is £249 a month, and the E Advance is £299 a month.
So it's a difference of just 50 sheets.
50 sheets, but then you extrapolate that over a year, and that's, well, I suppose it's only £600, isn't it? So it's sort of to lease it.
The thing is it, for me, it's not about the parking technology, because I can park my own car, especially when it has a turning circle like this one. But
yeah,
it's the heated seats. You've got to have heated seats, yeah. I'm afraid. And I'm not even like an old, thin-blooded man yet. It's just that they're
that's a great ZZ Top song. Nothing more than an old thin-blooded man.
That's the octogenarian ZZ Top album, which they'll be bringing.
Taking a lot of anticoagulants to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. So, but my question that I really want to ask you was how was the old Civic? Did you like it?
Old Civic was fantastic. It was the 1.2, so the smaller engined one, and it was the two-door. And it was so good. It was really zippy. And I mentioned in the video, it doesn't feel as old as what it actually is. And it definitely feels more modern than other 70s, like, British cars that I've driven. It just felt great. And it was just fun. I loved it. I mean, I had a hunch I would like one, because I've nearly bought several. In fact, I'm sat at this microphone, and right next to it is a Haynes Honda Civic manual, which I bought, I'm going to say, about 12 years ago, because I was convinced I was going to buy a first-gen Civic, and I never did. So I've now got a mint Civic Haynes manual for no frigging reason.
Hang on. You were convinced you were going to buy one, but did you have a specific one in mind, or was this just, you just felt it was your destiny?
I felt like it was getting close to the time. Yeah, you know when? Yeah, it just felt like there was a storm in the air, and it was going to happen. The planets were going to align. An old lady was going to tap me on the shoulder in a nearby village and say, "Oh, I hear you're into cars. I've got this thing. I don't really know what it is. It's yours.
It's written in the stones.
Yes.
That you shall have."
And I would really... And if she said, yes, it's not massively practical, it's a two-door, and I go, oh, this is bliss. This is going to go so well. Pre-facelift with the little indicators on the top of the bumpers. Oh, so good.
But just to be clear, that none of this ever actually happened.
No, this was me just being delusional and daydreaming. None of that actually happened. So, yeah... yeah, no, I've never owned one, but I drove that one and it was a little joy. And also, when you park them next to one another, your hunch is confirmed that they really do look quite similar, and the Honda E is the spiritual successor to the Civic, rather than the new Civic being comparable to the Civic, because of course the new Civic is like two segments of car bigger than the old Civic. Like a lot of cars, they've all grown, but the E.
But the Civic really has sort of jumped, hasn't it? Because,
well, it's massive. The new Civic's massive.
The original Civic came out in what, sort of
72, 73?
And so not that far off the Golf.
No, not that.
I would say that, but the original Civic would be smaller than a Golf, wouldn't it?
Smaller than a Golf, yeah. Do you want to?
And
do you
it's
want
now
a,
kind
what,
of
listen
matching strides with Golf, size wise.
Let me get my look. I've got my Haynes manual here. General dimensions and capacities. The two door, except North American market, is 3,695 millimeters long.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And it's, 3,810 millimetres wide. Sorry. Well, no, that's the North American length, sorry. No, forget that. It's 3,695 millimetres long, and it's 1,505 mil wide, and its wheelbase is 2,200 millimetres. Keep saying centimetres. Stop it, Johnny.
Yeah, that would be a long car.
That would be a long wheelbase.
I didn't really think when we started this podcast talking about my wife's friend, who I mistakenly believe smells of shit, that we would end up doing a deep dive into the dimensions
well,
of a Mark 1 Civic.
But, okay, how much do you think a Mark 1 Civic two-door with a manual gearbox weighs?
I bet it's really light, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, 780 kilos.
Oh, are you joking? It's 775.
No way.
That's really good. Wow.
Wow.
You're good. I didn't know you were that good.
Honestly, lucky guess. It really was a lucky guess. I'm trying to look up on the internet if there's any old Civics for sale.
Any old Civics
car and classic.
It's a rare.
My internet's not working.
It's a rare car now, and I think that's what I mentioned in the piece. Is like they sold them as just a very very kind of humble, gets you anywhere, just get in it and go, abuse it, it'll be fine kind of car. And as a consequence, they've all gone. And now, when you see one, it really makes you happy. But also, driving those cars side by side, it's almost like I'm seeing a fantastic little modern two-car garage. You've got your Honda E for daily use and your commuting stuff. And then you've got a funny little cutesy Pikachu weekend classic. I love it.
Pikachu. How's your Honda restoration?
It's on the home straight. Like, it's so close to being on the rolling road to be set up. I've had to find the glass bowl for the fuel filter had a crack in it and it just kept weeping. So I've had to find another one of those, and it's really hard to find. And I've just found one and bought it last night. And then there's one other bit which I need. What is that? I've had to have an exhaust scratch built for it, which was not £9,000 like your friend's Aston Rapide. But it was still a lot of money. But it's a really important part of that engine, the exhaust. It's quite a complex header manifold. So that's arriving.
I've just realised that the Rolling Roads sounds like quite a good name for a Rolling Stones tribute band.
Oh, that's a great... Yeah.
They massively exaggerate the length of all the songs and then find out the real number and go, oh, well, you know, I mean, yeah, but at the crank, that song would be a lot longer.
That's true. When they get to the crescendo of the song, yeah, they're like, they just go, oh, it's over. You know, what do you mean it's over? It's only halfway through. No, honestly.
It's tailing off. It's tailing off now. There's no meaningful song left.
They should play at Goodwood or the Silverstein Classic, the Rolling Roads. It would be amazing. Surely halfway through, one of them just has a massive heart attack and just falls over. but sometimes they just carry on regardless. They go, don't worry, he'll be fine. He'll be fine, it's okay.
Stop playing! There's a lot of smoke coming out of your guitarist. I'll be fine.
That's right. And obviously, one of them, stage three, like the drummer's... He's stage three, he is. Nobody knows what that means, but he's stage three.
Unfortunately, our drummer won't be with us tonight. We've had to return him to standard to get him through his MOT.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, he's been remapped. Back to standard.
Put the old chip back in and put the cats on.
That's right. Oh, yeah, decat.
Otherwise, there'd be trouble. Yeah,
that'd be the support band to the Rolling Roads, wouldn't it? Be decat back. And
I think catback system.
Oh, sorry, catback system. With the,
catback system.
Sort of an experimental
all
synth
female.
Band.
Yeah, all female, quite sort of experimental, yeah, avant-garde electronica.
Cat-back system. Yeah, cat-back system. Quite like those. I want to go and see them now, even though they don't exist. Please put your hands together for... It's the Rolling Roads. You can imagine Steve Lamacq. He'd love it. Steve Lamacq would be straight on there. He'd love that.
Stoive Lamacq and his evening session.
And the Welsh guy from Radio 1, Hugh Stevens. Hugh Stevens. He'd love Catback System. He'd champion them from the minute they set up.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He'd be down there in at the Dublin Castle in Camden
Town. Of course he would. Oh, they would have loved it there.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage, Catback System!
Talking of radios, Radio 1 has been doing a campaign called, like, hashtag Up Yours Corona recently. And all I
can...
Yeah. And just trying to get people all across the world to say Up Yours Corona and sort of, I suppose it's like a morale boost.
Well, that'll make it go away. Then, yes,
it will. It's scientifically proven to make it
viruses
stop.
Respond well when you just shout at them.
Fuck off.
To go away. Yeah. Piss off. Oi, tuberculosis. Shit off.
It works really well in football games when you shout at the referee. Who are you? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
My name's John Stevens. I live in High Wycombe.
And there you go.
I hope that's answered your question.
Oh, it does. Thanks very much, John. Cheers.
Right. Yeah. Cheers.
As you were.
Right.
Keep up
the good work.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. But I keep thinking, every time I see Up Yours Corona, I keep thinking of the Toyota Corona, because I feel like it's been tarred with the wrong brush almost. I know it's not a current model.
Or is it? Is it still available in Japan? No, it's not, actually. I think they stopped, didn't they? It's probably stopped, but more recently than you think.
What did it do? Did it go into the 90s or the early noughties? Or?
I don't know, and I'm not sure I can look it up because I don't think my internet is still not working properly for some reason.
It's because we're using all of it in order to chat. Somebody's phoning me. That's so unprofessional during a cast, isn't it? Cast.
Oh, hang on. Here we go. Cast. Yeah, 2000. Oh, no, wait. Hang on. That's bollocks.
Toyota Corona. I found some brochures online because I was just investigating what they look like. The 1982 Corona brochure is particularly atmospheric.
Have you noticed? Now, I know this is a sort of, might be a particular gripe to the jobs that we do, mm-hmm. but I needed to look up the sizes of some cars,
yes,
for journalistic purposes, and it's car manufacturer websites, which are basically, you know, are the brochures now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I don't know. I think a few people will still send you a brochure, but by and large, even if you do the get brochure option on a website, it's just a PDF now. And
that's right.
But just trying to find out how long or wide a car is on some manufacturers' websites. Is
oh my gosh, Rich.
Needlessly difficult.
Were you me last night at about 5:30? Because that's precisely what I was doing at about 5:30 last night. I was trying to find. I was doing a comparison for the video for this Honda E and Honda Civic video. I was trying to find the dimensions of the Mini E, the Zoe next to the Honda E next to the VW E-Up, and it took me about an hour. And it's like, how has it taken me so long? Because some dimensions I would get, and I just didn't believe them, and my hunch was correct. So when I searched again, I was like, no, that's out. That's not right.
But do you know what's funny about that?
It's not interesting. It's not funny.
Well,
it's not interesting.
It's not, but it's a genuine thing, because it's like, but also I think this is a... Well, it's like there was a teacher at our school who would ask questions, and if people didn't know, one of his catchphrases inadvertently was, "This is basic information." And this is what I feel about how long a car is, because it's relevant for people. I know most people don't stick their cars in garages anymore, but some people do, particularly older people, because it's ingrained.
My auntie, who I talked to you about earlier this week, who owns the Suzuki Swift Sport.
The Swift what, sorry?
Sport. Sorry, hang on. Suzuki Swift Sport. Boats.
Thank you.
Boats. Stage 3 tune, cat-back system. Bilstein adjustables, Toyo track day, sticky rubber and all that. So that's what she drives. However, she does use her garage. She's trad, and she's always used the garage. And when she was looking at the Suzuki Swift Sport, she wanted immediately, before she got in it, before she'd even got, you know, tempted, she wanted to know the dimensions. And because she wrote off one of her choices on the basis that it was too wide for the garage. I know, a Volvo C30... She said, no, it's too wide, can't fit that in, because she's been a Volvo buyer over the years and then went Sayer, and now she's gone Suzuki. But yeah, I love the fact that she's 73 and she bought a Suzuki Swift Sport.
I like to imagine she's doing a little cheeky sort of heel and toeing in those kind of soft pumps that ladies of a certain age like to wear.
Oh, she's Auntie Margaret, she's great. And I said, when she said she'd ordered it, I went, the Sport, like, The real Sport version. She went, 1.6. Apparently it's quite, I think it's 1.6, isn't it? It's apparently quite nippy. Yeah. I said, quite nippy. I said, yes, it's like quite a performance car. I said, well, it's really firm. You know that, don't you, Auntie? And she goes, yeah, well, I do like firm suspension. I had a car before and it was just too soft and I just didn't like it. So I was like, okay. And I thought, when it arrives, she's going to have a hell of a shock. But no, she loves it, apparently.
Was it a second generation Swift Sport?
Well, let me think. She got it new. She's probably had it 3 or 4 years now.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like it'd be a second gen.
Yeah.
And they had, from memory, the ride on that was, I thought, quite acceptable. Because I had a first generation one as a long-term test car from Evo, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And there were just sort of one or two things that I wasn't... In fact, I seem to remember there were sort of three things about it I didn't like, but they didn't spoil the overall thing. It was like it was a 5-speed box on it, and it could have done with an extra gear to make it quieter and less frenzied on the motorway.
Was it really low geared? I bet
it was pretty low geared. Yeah, very revvy. Yeah, lovely. But yeah, and then second generation, they gave it a 6-speed box. The interior on the first one was okay, and it had a really massive key. It had keyless, but the key was massive. It was a real kind of. It looked like you got a stiffy when you put it in your trouser pocket kind of key. And then the second one, they gave it this lovely little tiny dongly thing that was... And it's like, it's almost like they knew. They went through the first one, they went, here's what is annoying about this car, let's fix it. And the third thing was, the first one was supposed to have been run on a super unleaded. A very high compression ratio, because it's basically a little competition engine. It was a rally homologation car, essentially. And so you're supposed to run it on posh petrol, which, is apart from the fact you can't get it everywhere, it's just an added expense. And it was quite thirsty for a little car, mainly because you drive it like a complete flute.
Yeah, exactly.
And the second generation one, they just retuned the engine and changed things, and it didn't have to run it on 98 anymore. And that was it. It was, as far as I was concerned, like the second generation one was just getting so close to perfection. And the ride, from memory, was a little bit less
manic,
bumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great car.
Well, I'm going down to see her quite soon because I haven't seen her pretty much this year. So I might see, and probably won't be allowed, but I might see if I can actually take it out for a drive. If I do, I'll do a short video for you, because it's I'm just so impressed that she's got it. I think it's wonderful.
It's a bit of a phenomenon, though, isn't it? I've noticed this, and I mean, it sounds like your auntie knew what she was getting into, but I've noticed sometimes you see surprisingly old people in surprisingly high performance versions of cars, and I'm always sure it's because they've gone into the dealer and gone, I've got this much to spend, and basically the dealer, rather than go, well, you know, let's use old school Ford as the metric here. What he should do is say, the salesman should say, you should have an Escort gear.
Yes.
What they actually say is, well, with that money, you can have an Escort XR3i or an RS Turbo.
Yes.
And the old dear or the old gent goes, well, that sounds exciting. I'll have one of those then, please. And pays full list for it.
And never uses a third of its capability.
No, exactly. Also, it exacerbates their osteoporosis a treat because of this firm suspension.
I think that happens a lot. But do you remember when we were doing one of the last Smith & Sniff videos when we rendezvoused at our favourite services?
Oh, yeah.
And and there was an old couple in a Golf GTI, is it a TCR? What was the...
Was it a club sport? I think it might have been a club sport.
Hang on. What did you just say?
Clubfoot.
Club Spolt.
Oh, sorry. Club Spowat.
Yeah, do you remember them getting out of it? And he was really, really... it was mint. It looked like it was. It had only just been... And we both looked at one another and went, what, he's got that? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know why I've suddenly thought of this, but I once saw a man in an Impreza Turbo pull at some traffic lights. He flung the driver's door open, vomited expansively on the road, and then just shut the door, the lights went green, and off he sped. It was like an all-in-one sort of smooth and fluid movement. And I was just like, what's the story? What's going on? Are you ill? Are you drunk? Are you... Is the Impreza's very firm ride has caused your stomach to become agitated? It was weird.
Do you know what it was? He looked at the Impreza's dashboard for too long, because let's face it, those cars do have an incredibly crap-looking cabin. They always did.
It got worse, didn't it? There was a kind of unfussy functionalness to the original one.
It was all about the seats. Seats and the drivetrain, that
was
it. Yeah,
good seats. Good seats, good drivetrain, lovely, lovely gear change on it. And then a little switch with Bright written on it, which inexplicably made the clock a bit...
Oh, yeah! I forgot.
Never understood why that you give it the. I mean, it's the size of the switch as well. It was not a small switch. It's like you've given too much magnitude to a tiny function.
Why didn't they just have a simple thumb wheel for the dimmer?
Yeah.
You know, like most cars. I mean, even my Beetle's got a dimmer for it, and that's a basic 60s car.
What?
Yeah, it's got...
60s Beetles have instrument dimmers.
I mean, there's only one instrument. It's the Speedo. but, yeah, it did. It's just a resistor that just dims and brightens. Yeah. But I don't know if like that was... Mine was a deluxe model. It might have been part of the deluxe thing.
Ooh,
I'd love to check that out. I'd love to just double check that. Talking of Imprezas, the age-old rivalry between... Scooby Impreza versus Mitsubishi Evolution Lancer Evo.
Yes.
I've just heard on the grapevine that Mitsubishi might be pulling out of Europe.
Yeah, the official line, when did they announce that? It was like almost a week ago, wasn't it? They said that they are not going to launch any new models in Europe.
But that's...
Which means they'll just let the existing stuff wither on the vine, won't they? I mean, it's like... They're just propped up by that awful Outlander FEV, aren't they? Because lots of people buy that because it's good technology in a rather dismal car. But
yeah, but they are a company of one car and one truck,
yeah,
pretty much, aren't they?
Well, exactly. And they're just, I mean, is there any Mitsubishi these days that you go, ooh, I like that, fancy one of those?
No, the truck's consistently good. And the current one, actually, I think looks better than it has in about a decade. But the FEV, the seven-seat jobber, why don't they just sell that to, like, somebody else to make? Because if that was made by, I don't know, let's say Ford or Vauxhall, that would actually be really good, you know, in terms of for them, for their lineup. And then Mitsubishi could just close the stage doors and just take royalties, you know, like a Christmas number one that you were a one-hit wonder. You just sell the FEV.
But they're still going to be around in the rest of the world. And they haven't officially said they're pulling out of Europe. It's just the writing seems to be on the wall. And I think the rumour is that the UK importer has written to all the dealers and gone, look, guys, look.
Look, guys, listen, there, listen, look. Guys, listen.
It's...
Look.
It's probably all over before you know it, so we're going to look around and see what other cars we could import. Which,
well, can I ask you? This threw up my ears and my senses, and I thought I had to ask you, which would you go for in the age old 90s rivalry? Would you do Lancer Evolution, or would you go Impreza? And if so, which variant?
Well, you see, I'm an Impreza person all the way. I liked those. Evos sort of, when did they start bringing them in? Six, I suppose, when it was, you know.
They were the six was the one that everyone properly took notice of because that
yeah,
was
the... Yeah, so I remember I think I've driven six, seven, I think I've driven Lancer Evolutions 6 to 9, and then I had a 10, which was a totally different and new car, as a long-termer from Evo magazine, and I hated it. It was awful.
I went on the launch of that car, I remember. That was the car that...
It was just an annoying piece of shit to live with. It really
did
was.
Did you have the paddle shift or not?
No, it was a manual.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't, I'm being unfair, but I just didn't. I disliked it so much that towards the end of its time with us, the mag went, "Can we have it back at the office, please? So someone who likes it more can drive it for a bit." Because you just keep moaning about it in your long term test reports. Because it was just you had to absolutely. I thought that the earlier ones, they felt sort of nice and lively and fun, even if you weren't absolutely on the ragged edge. And this one, it just sort of wasn't, unless you were totally rinsing it, and then it felt like you might die or crash into someone or something. just couldn't enjoy it. And I just thought it made you look like an oaf as well. But Impressors, which I know can also make you look like an oaf, they're nice even at 10 miles an hour because they make a funny noise and the gear change is better than an Evo's, I think.
I mean, everyone likes the Tommy Mäkinen edition of the Evo. I prefer the Impreza because of the flat four, always have done.
What
I would say is my favorite Impreza is probably the two-door one. Was it the Type R?
There was the P1
was a two-door,
the 22B.
That's it, you remember all the words. The P1's the most expensive Impreza, isn't it? I think it's the most desirable. Yeah. It's proper numbers now to buy.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I just talked to a chap that you've been interviewed by as well for a classic car website, and I did an interview with him last week, and we were talking about this because he asked if I could tip five future classics, and I said those earlier Evos and Impressors will definitely keep going up because the 90s generation that, you know, used to play them in games and used to cover them as cars that featured in magazines, and they're probably getting to an age where they can afford to start buying them up as classics. And
that's true.
The one for me, Impreza-wise, was the first Impreza Turbo I ever drove, which was an RB5, and I just absolutely adored it. And most Imprezas I've driven since haven't quite come close to capturing some of that magic. But
the Richard Burns version.
Yeah. So it's funny, isn't it? It was sort of, because that's the thing, in a way it was sort of like Blur and Oasis. You had to pick a side.
Yes, it was Blur and Oasis but in cars. Yeah, it was.
I did sort of like some of those Evos 6 to 9. I remember enjoying them.
Yes.
But just not as much as Imprezas. If you had to make me pick,
yes,
Blur and Imprezas, please.
I think the ultimate for me would be to own a really Larry Impreza, but I would tow it to shows with a Mitsubishi Pajero Evo, just to say, don't worry, I'm in both camps. I just couldn't be bothered to buy a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo. I've gone for the Pajero, which I do love.
Or just get a Forester Turbo.
Oh, what were the weird Japanese ones? They did an STI of those, didn't they?
There's an STI one, yeah, which I think, was it an STI or was it just a normal Forester Turbo that I once got into a unintentional four-wheel drift going through the junction where the A1 meets the North Circular in North London very late at night.
Oh, really?
And
I know that bit.
Yeah, I got they've redone it now, but this is way back in the day. There was a funny little sort of ridge in the road, and I skippity hopped over that, and the car started going a bit sideways, and it was all a bit exciting, but then it just sort of held that stance, and I sort of just slithered in the direction I was intending to go, but at a slight angle, and then it sort of, I just eased off and it straightened up and off we kept on going. I started to sound like a fucking cliche when I was about to say dab of Oppo, but anyway.
The only reason why I asked you if you preferred Evo to the Impreza was because this Christmas I know whether to buy you a Rally Art jacket or a 555 jacket. because I think that one day when we go on some sort of British tour, Smith and Sniff tour, we're going to have to toss a coin. Who does the Rally Art jacket? Who does the 555 jacket? And
if you're offering,
yeah,
if you're actually offering, earlier in the show, I mentioned the Paris-Dakar spec.
Did you say Harry Dakar? Is that like
Harry Dakar?
Is that,
yeah,
is that Harry Metcalf doing another edition of something?
It's Harry. He's let his hair grow quite long at the back again, and he's very deserty, but he wears sandals still.
Yeah.
It's strange. Mm. Still, I don't know that Harry wears sandals now, but he does it desert, nomad spec Harry.
He's also entering the Dakar, but he refuses to wear any safety gear at all, including he's just wearing an open linen shirt and no helmet.
And he's doing it in his kuntash as well, because he's got it lifted. for some reason.
Guntash with a couple of homemade snorkels using like plum center, like induction. If you're listening, Mr. Metcalf, which you're probably not because you're a sane man, I really think we should do the Harry Dakar, please. As a fellow YouTuber, please, can we collab on this?
That's enough for another episode of the Smith and Sniff podcast. Thank you ever so much for listening. If you would be so kind as to like our stuff, leave a little review if you want, and subscribe to us on YouTube if you want to do that. These podcasts appear there as well as in all the usual pod places. For your viewing pleasure, please go to Johnny's Car Pervert channel, where you'll currently find a review of the Honda E. And before that, a look at the new electric van from the London Taxi People, which is quite interesting. And if you're really, really, really bored, then why not buy my medium-sized book of boring car trivia, which is available as a paperback or an ebook on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening.
Indeed. See you next week. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.